Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Tom Dolan. And we recently recorded an episode of Economically Speaking where I had the opportunity to talk with Dr. Amory Wakamantes about the importance of mental health and wellness in the workplace. Last month, the month of May, was Mental Health Awareness Month. While mental health awareness has always been important, greater attention has been paid to it since the COVID-19 pandemic. In our talk, we explore the connection between the two. To be most successful as a business, you need staff who are focused and at their best. If you have staff who are struggling, your business may be struggling as well. This was a really great and informative conversation that is critical for so many. Many helpful resources were shared by Dr. Wakamantes during our talk, which you can find in our show notes. As always, you can contact us on our website, BabylonIDA.org, with feedback and ideas for upcoming episodes. Now, without any further ado, here's my conversation with Dr. Wakamantes.
Welcome to Economically Speaking, the information podcast designed to bring you the latest economic development news in the town and the surrounding area, hosted by Babylon IDA CEO Tom Dolan.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Economically Speaking. We are both thankful and excited to have our guest here today. The month of May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we have, again, a special guest, Dr. Amory Wakamantes from Northwell Health. Welcome.
Hi there. I'm grateful to be here today.
That's great. And again, we're so appreciative that you've taken the time that you have and to be here to talk about, again, this is a subject that I would think that, you know, during COVID and the pandemic, there was a little more light shined on mental health, and maybe you can kind of expand upon that a little bit as far as what your observation was.
Yeah, I would love to, and I think it really speaks to a lot of the work that I do at Northwell. I'm a clinical psychologist. I'm also the clinical director of a newer center, the Center for Traumatic Stress Resilience and Recovery. And I think the question that you're asking about, this increase in awareness speaks to what we did at Northwell. But if we even take a step back, we know that mental health was going on prior to COVID. You know, people were dealing with symptoms of depression, symptoms of anxiety, sometimes PTSD, high levels of burnout and stress, or sometimes using drugs or alcohol or unhealthy ways of coping. Pandemic happened. I think we could all relate to the impact, right, that has had on us, right? Whether it's the death and loss, the fear related, the financial pieces, the social unrest, I mean, you name it. And so that created more people, large masses, dealing with mental health issues. And so we think about that and the lingering impact. We all see that with our youth in particular. When we think about that, I think it crystallized the fact that there's a relationship between work and mental health. And the reason I say this is because employers had to start talking more to their employees, right, their team members, about what was going on, how they were gonna change the work life environment, right? People couldn't balance or juggle their demands at home. They had a hard time working through symptoms of anxiety and worry. And they were talking about this openly. And employers also experienced it, right? And that shifted the conversation, that it was okay and necessary to talk about mental health, right? Our own wellness, our family's wellness, in all aspects.
You know, and with that, you know, it forced us to, but prior to, you know, it was very difficult. It was more of a difficult conversation. And what are some of the challenges you see in your industry and trying to get people to understand some of the things you're talking about now?
Yeah. So when I think about mental health, I think about it on a continuum. So sometimes people are like, I don't even really know what that means. And so mental health in general is how we are emotionally able to work through things, how our thought process is, right? Our psychological way of being. And in the face of stress or environmental things that are complicated in nature, sometimes for some of us in certain times in our lives, find it harder to function and are making the best decisions that they possibly could. Mm. And so we say on that continuum, we're all trying to work towards a healthier us, right? Aligned with our values and our goals, our work goals, our family goals, our morals. And then other times it can be really difficult to do that because we're not sleeping well. We're feeling anxious, right? The palpitations sometimes feel like, or the digestive system has shut down, right? Fear, or that low mood and that isolation from people. And so our job is to hold that it's on a continuum. And actually, if we all want to show up for work, for our families, you know, in our lives, we want to take some time to take care of ourselves. And what's hard about that is many times we're told, like, keep going, let's be productive, right? We become less human, we become more robotic.
Right.
And that actually it's a double-edged sword, right? We want to strive for excellence, but at the same point, you know, we don't want to neglect our basic health.
Right.
And it's different, you know, if we had cancer, people would be talking about it differently. Right? When it comes down to mental health, there's a lot of stigma around saying, you know, I can't, I'm struggling right now concentrating in this conversation. I haven't slept. I might need to come in a little bit later. Otherwise, if I show up, you know, the customers aren't going to be satisfied because I'm not in the best shape.
As you talk about that, I'm thinking about not anyone in particular, but just things I could think about as far as somebody struggling with those things and maybe that feeling of being alone.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're in the workplace, and especially again with COVID and the isolation that did and the impact that had.
Yeah. And I think that isolation was something people are, I know the impact of this. I see the impact on my kids, right? I was just recently somewhere and the woman shared, you know, she only has one child and she said, you know, it's so hard because I know he missed out in such a young age interacting with other kids and he feels uncomfortable, it feels, he gets worried,
yeah.
You know? And so, of course, we need to think about, we have to integrate and think through how do we help people build resilience in the face of mental health.
Right.
At Northwell, before the pandemic, we had wonderful resources. Right? Northwell is a very large healthcare system throughout the state of New York, in ambulatory hospitals, et cetera. And there was the employee assistance program that offered free confidential resources. We had wellness, big large events, campaigns, presentations and worship. Our center was created to pull in experts who can deal with trauma, who can deal with occupational stress. And there was discussion around that before the pandemic. The pandemic allowed us to put our foot on the gas pedal.
Gotcha.
And so now we help with that on that continuum of offering presentations and workshops specifically focused on dealing with occupational stress, learning concrete skills, rolling out a peer support model, consulting with leadership to say, how can we shift the culture? How do we improve it more so that we have a resilient workforce equipped in turning to the person to their left or right and noticing when someone's off because they're not their usual self, knowing what to say, how to connect them to resources.
Yeah, so important.
And then, of course, connecting them to mental health treatment with a specialist if needed.
That's excellent. So there are resources available is what you're saying. And, you know, in listening to that too, how do we get, you know, some of the companies, and we talked again before we started recording about, you know, there are some businesses that offer mental health day, you know what I mean, for people just to kind of, I guess, relax and not think about all the things that get them all stressed out. But what are the other things we can do to continue to expand that? You talked about leadership, and how can we continue to help and maybe help expand this?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. So a variety of things. One is to get a pulse on how people are doing. Each company is going to be different, right? And so if we can do check-ins, if we can survey in some way our employees and their needs and where they are in regards to mental health, burnout or perceptions of burnout, what are the top reasons that make it harder here for you? What are the barriers that might be getting in the way of doing things differently? What would you like to see done differently?
Right.
So that we can help provide a, a better work-life harmony, right? This balance of the two. And then as employers, we can use that knowledge and create based off of what we're hearing. Now, there's general things that we could all do, but I think getting a pulse gives us an opportunity to then give back. And I think that, I know from the research, is that when people feel supported by their supervisors, by leaders, they're willing to stay at work, right? They're willing to give and be there to support the people they work with. And that includes working extra hours if needed,
right?
We see, I think at this point, it's close to like 90% of people who are looking for jobs right now are looking for employers to talk about how they think through mental health and work.
Right?
That wasn't a thing, you know, a handful of years ago.
No doubt.
Right? And what we also know, 4 out of 5 employers are thinking about this. They're saying they're asking themselves that question, what do we need to do? And there's already action plans getting started. So if it's not that surveying, or they haven't done that yet, it's part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of the plan is providing opportunities for workshops, presentations on wellness, right? How to be, and I keep using the word resilience, right? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes people don't know what wellness even means, right? Or what does emotional wellness mean, or mental health mean, right? But gaining skills. And that could be done more formally. And there's also informal levels of providing that education. So those are available. Of course, you have your employee assistance programs and letting people know that there's resources. And the sooner you're able to connect for support from a professional, the better.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's breaking down and shifting the culture. I could share a little bit about what we've done at the Center for Traumatic Stress Resilience and Recovery that really helps shift that dynamic. And my guess is people can pick and choose some of the things I share that might be helpful. So we pulled a model from the military, a place where we're talking about stigma, right? Around mental health, right? Utilize this peer support organizational framework. It's called Stress First Aid. In this model, we're asking people to be proactive in assessing where they're on, where are they with their stress levels?
Mm.
What could we do differently? And we're studying the impact of it over a 3-month period where we're integrating, and then we're looking at it over a year in each of the hospitals and as we go into ambulatory.
Yeah. Very interesting. And I would think, again, in the workplace, you know, as you're speaking, it would be so beneficial for an employer to have this kind of understanding because, again, business is in business to make money and right and be productive. And but not only that, but like you said, there's something about today, and I think it's a good thing that culture and business culture is being discussed more. And I think mental health, again, is being inserted more.
Mm-hmm.
But I see this. Where can businesses go? What would you recommend as far as a resource? And it sounds like you have all the tools necessary for the business owner, but just for our listening audience too, is some of the resources that may be available or some of the signs that you can point out that says, hey, maybe it's worth a conversation to see if this is a program that can work for them.
Yeah. So you can always reach out to our center, the Center for Traumatic Stress Resilience and Recovery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our number is 833-327-1001, or reach out to us at ctsrr@northwell.edu.
Sure.
There's also a great website from the U.S. Surgeon General around this topic, and I think it's really helpful. It speaks about 5 essential elements for workplace mental health and well-being. And what I like about this is leadership, there's a separate section where leadership can think about these 5 domains. There's questions related to them. So the idea is to reflect on how are we thinking through things like providing psychological and physical safety to our employees. What does that look like? Are we even assessing that? So when bad things happen, do people feel safe at their job?
Right.
Emotionally, can they speak up or do they not? There's questions about that work-life kind of harmony. That, you know, are people able to respect the boundaries between work life and home life? And do they have leaders modeling that?
Sure.
And if they don't, right, how do you rectify some of those things? Talk about connection. They talk about building a culture of gratitude and recognizing folks. I often hear, like, not only do I feel, like, lonely, I just don't feel recognized.
That's important. That's a human need, right there, right?
Yeah, we want to feel loved, right? We want to know that we're important, or that we're people are grateful for showing up at work. And then also components of how do you help build someone's professional growth. These are all elements that employees are looking for, and employers need to really pause and think through. So it's a great website to gain different tips and skills. The other thing that you mentioned was kind of like kind of the starting point to some degree. So one of the elements that we use in stress first aid is called the color continuum. It's a way of assessing where we might be when stress is there. And we want to practice checking in. It's this idea of self-awareness, right? And so similar to a traffic light, we're in the green zone when we're our best selves. Right? We're rested, we're restored spiritually, intellectually, we're healthy, right? We show up for our family, we show up at work in a very different way, usually aligned with our values.
Sure.
Ever been there? Right? That's where we want to hang out.
Yeah.
The reality is that sometimes we're dealing with stress, and that's that yellow zone, right? That's this moment where we're noticing the stress is there, but we're not pushed too hard. We're able to work through it. We want to monitor it. Stress sometimes is quite useful for us because it gives us motivation. I want to solve this problem. I'm a little nervous. I'm not sleeping well because I have to figure this out so that I can pull in more money for the business, right? I can expand and keep growing, right? That's that yellow zone. That's different from an orange zone where we notice the stress, maybe related to trauma, grief and loss, complicated stuff going on at work, maybe some moral injury, and it's impacting us. And then we're in the red and we've hung out in that orange zone for way too long, and it's now impacting our functioning. That's sometimes where we see that mental health illness, right? Depression, anxiety, people not coming into work, people leaving, they're on long-term disability, right? Which has its own, right, as it impacts our work for certain operations of our job. So we introduce the color continuum, and we have people at work share where they think they themselves are and where they think the team is. It's a nice check-in. It gives us a pulse. So at any point, I'm walking around at a hospital, I'm walking around in a school system where we implemented stress first aid, come to my Sarah for dinner, you'll hear my kids talk about this, right? We all got it going on.
Sure.
Where are we? Because if I can say, I think the team right now is in the yellow, but we're moving closer to the orange, and I have a leader that says, okay, well, this is what we're going to do differently, right? Let's call a timeout. Let's bring in food today, you know, let's bring in snacks. Let's have a mental health, start planning a mental health day. Or if you don't have a day because you need, you know, you don't have the time for that, what else can we do? And that helps us. So it's about shifting culture, assessing where we're at on that continuum on a constant basis.
Right.
So that if we're in that yellow, what's the difference between our yellow and our orange? And if we can identify those signs sooner, we're able to pull ourselves back and do things differently.
Right.
Right? So we want to proactively, what we call, grow the green. I recently had an employee share. She said, someone I don't think would normally share much about her life. And she says, I read this thing that was sent out. I said, is that the stress buster the past week? And she said, yes, because we send out weekly stress buster. It's a quick tip, a quick way to build resilience, specifically at work, and you can take it home. And the topic was, how, if you had a hard day, can you signal to your loved ones before you get home? And the simplest way to do that is send a text message.
Right.
And she said, I'm a caregiver at home besides at work. And after I read the stress buster, I've been able to send text messages a few times and say, today was a hard day. And that signals to her family that when I get home, they're able to divide the normal responsibilities that I could take on. And she said, I felt it in my body. I just felt more relaxed to know that when I walk in home, that transition from work to home won't be more of maybe the orange. And that was really powerful, right? So I don't need to have people sharing everything about their lives. But if we could reflect and teach different ways and strategies to work at home and at work, we're going to be in a better place, right? She's going to be more satisfied in a lot of areas of her life.
And listening to this, it sounds like you really need people to open up to this. And kind of there's got to be a buy-in. And it's got to be an awareness of where they're at. And I think some people have a hard time with being honest with themselves or with the situation. Is that a challenge that you see?
Yeah, absolutely. There are some people who are going to easily gravitate to it because they know the importance of it. They've seen the importance of it. Maybe they have loved ones, family, other people at work where when they were able to take care of themselves and get the support they needed, they were able to thrive better in life.
Sure.
And then there's going to be the people who are ambivalent about change. Right? And so some of that is understanding what are the barriers or respecting some of the barriers to it. Mm-hmm. So again, if people don't want to share where they personally are on the color continuum, you don't need to. Tell me where the team is. Because people are more likely to say, I think the team, right, is in the yellow.
Gotcha.
Yes, well, that makes sense because there's been higher demands. Maybe there's not as many resources. And then people see that. I got a call from someone. Sometimes I able to offer screens if they need mental health treatment. And a gentleman said, I've been in this field for years. I heard you or maybe a colleague come and talk about stress first aid. Didn't think I really needed it. And he said, but I'm calling you now because I do.
Wow.
And he said, part of that was because it was very complicated of what was going on and the tragedies his family faced. And he said, in order for me to be there for my family now, I need to specialize. And so I don't need everyone to buy into every aspect.
Gotcha.
But to know that there are resources, there are specialists, and therapy works.
Right. Okay.
It just does. There's evidence that shows that people don't have to struggle with a mental health illness.
Well, that's the good news.
And yeah.
That's the upside,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I would just want to remind everybody, we're sitting with Dr. Amory Waka Montez from Northwell Health. And I also want to just say that we will have a lot of the information that she's speaking about and the resources and so maybe some of the websites that you mentioned. We'll have that in our show notes. So please go to our show notes. But as you look around, sometimes we model. Businesses model other businesses, right, that are having success. Is there anyone doing it? I mean, Northwell sounds like they've got this under control, but have you modeled or looked around the world? Like, is there any place that does it better?
Yeah. So I think what we find is a level of peer support is really useful. There's different types of peer support that we see that's useful. Culturally speaking, I think taking the breaks, the siesta, right?
Right.
That's all important, right? And so part of taking and borrowing ideas from other people will include that,
sure.
Right? And you want to think about for yourself, for your team, for your employers, what can we offer, right? So yeah, if we can take breaks, I have people who are offered their break and still don't take their break,
right?
It's about shifting culture.
Right.
And so I think there's other ways of doing things, absolutely. But the key components, and I think one of them, and why maybe you gravitate to it, that I would love that also, right? This longer period of time, some countries, it's an extended summer, everyone travels during, right? The school systems are all different. I guess the piece is figuring out internally what aspects do our team members need,
right,
by asking them and then shifting the culture and saying it's okay to take care of yourself, because
mm-hmm.
that's the biggest thing, right? I wonder if we even told people, okay, you can leave early, right? People, I'm sure tons of people would take you up on that,
right?
And there's also tons of people who don't even take their breaks right now,
right? Right.
So how do we shift the culture and being able to say, you know, this is important, and the better you are for yourself, whatever that looks like for you, is really important for you to do, and I'm going to help support you in doing that. You know, giving your employees permission.
Sure.
I think speaks to that connection, and that's why people are more satisfied with their job.
Sure.
Because they have someone saying, this is what you individually need, and I'm willing to bend and flex for you.
That's
right?
Awesome.
And they're happy. Then there's not turnover,
right?
Then you as an employer are not overwhelmed and stressed out because now you have to hire, you have to train. Financially, it's a drain.
Sure.
Right?
Do you find, again, I find this very fascinating.
Yeah.
It really is great sitting here. But, you know, addiction and different things in the workplace. I would assume the model in which you're speaking about also lends itself to exposing maybe some of that or helping some of the people that are, what do they call it, numbing or self-medicating in a sense, right?
Yeah. Yep. So part of the model is as a peer or as a manager, right, someone that you're working with, if you're noticing they're struggling, being able to show up for them and to say, I'm noticing there's some things that either you're sharing or, you know, you normally come in this way and today looks a little bit different, or the past week or two have been different.
Yeah.
You know, would you mind taking some time to talk about it? Because I care. And then people will expose a whole host of things when they're ready. And if the relationship is, you know, is supportive. And that's where people might share, you know, I'm dealing with marital issues, I'm dealing with drug or alcohol problems, I'm having thoughts about wanting to kill myself.
Right?
Having issues with domestic violence. You know, people share, especially if you're working,
sure,
you know, full time. You're spending most of your time with them. And so part of the training that we do is helping equip someone once they hear that from a colleague to say, I'm really glad that you shared that. Have you ever thought about connecting for therapy? What helps? Right? And if they're ambivalent about treatment, you know, what would it look like that would be helpful? When would you be more open? What are the barriers that are getting in the way? So once people identify what the barriers are, then you can help, or you could reach out to someone who could help reduce those barriers, right? So sometimes people don't want to make the call by themselves.
Yeah.
So maybe as a close colleague to someone, you might turn around and say, you feel uncomfortable even finding a list. Let me reach out. Let me jump on Psychology Today, for example. Let me reach out to Northwell Health. See who we can get you connected to.
Nice.
Right? So they can help do the barriers or break down the barriers. Or if someone has a preference of who they see, there's options, right?
Right.
And so helping navigate that. And at any point, if we don't feel we're able to support our coworkers, being able to reach out to leadership, be able to reach out to our employer and say, how can we help this person? Because
right.
No one should be alone in
right.
this process.
And again, it comes back to culture,
mm-hmm.
having empathy, right?
Yeah.
in the workplace and recognizing and knowing your employees. And some companies are large, some of the companies we deal with are very large,
mm-hmm.
And some are a little bit small, but can probably get a better handle on something like that. And you're giving me an idea because we had done a business summit like a month ago on certain topics that are important to the community, to the business community. And I would love to invite you to
mm-hmm.
maybe speak at one of our business summits, because just sitting here and listening to this and understanding that there are tools and resources
mm-hmm.
and things available to a topic that is so important and can have tremendous impact, not only in people's personal lives, but in the workplace, is tremendous to know. So there is hope and on the other end of this. And again, I'd love to have you, maybe we can do something like this, and
mm-hmm.
we'll invite some of the businesses, local businesses, or any business that would like to attend, because it really resonates
mm-hmm.
With a lot of the things that you're talking about, just in what I see
mm-hmm.
in like, you know,
yeah.
on a day-to-day basis. So is there anything else, as any parting thoughts or anything that you'd like to share as we come to a close of the podcast here?
I'm grateful that you chose to talk about this topic. It's an area that needs to be talked about. And the last thing that we want to feel and experience as business owners, as leaders, is that we can't provide support, right? We don't know how, or we feel stressed, right? We're in the orange because our team is in the orange, right?
Gotcha, right.
And so the more tools that are out there And the more open people are to utilizing them, you see the rippling effect.
Sure.
Right? People are not only productive, but they're thriving in just so many ways, not only just their personal lives, but you see that at work. And so I'm grateful to be here to talk about this and willing to help in any way.
Oh, that's great. And again, we're so thankful that you're taking the time to be here. We agree with you. This is a very important topic, and it probably needs to be discussed more. And we can definitely expand upon that. I'd also want to invite you back. We can maybe expand because there's so many things to discuss with this also. And I'm sure we're only scratching the surface in some ways. But the good news today is that businesses, if you're listening to this, or just if you're an individual listening to this, is that there are resources out there available to being able to help you, and that you're not alone. So I want to again thank Dr. Amory Huaca-Montes for being with us here today. My name is Tom Dolan. You've been listening to Economically Speaking. Have a great day, everyone.
This episode of Economically Speaking podcast was brought to you by the Town of Babylon IDA. To find out more information about today's topic, our guest, or to simply stay connected, please visit the show notes where you'll find all the relevant links.